The French had collapsed. The Dutch had been overwhelmed. The Belgians had surrendered. The British army, trapped, fought free and fell back toward the Channel ports, converging on a fishing town whose name was Dunkirk. Behind them lay the sea. It was England's greatest crisis since the Norman conquest. If the Germans crossed the Channel and established uncontested beachheads, all would be lost. Now the 220,000 Tommies at Dunkirk, Britain's only hope, seemed doomed. There appeared to be no way to bring more than a handful of them home. The Royal Navy's vessels were inadequate. King George VI had been told that they would be lucky to save 17,000. The House of Commons was warned to prepare for hard and heavy tidings. Then, from the streams and estuaries of Kent and Dover, a strange fleet appeared. Trawlers and tugs, scows and fishing sloops, lifeboats and pleasure craft, smacks and coasters, all of them manned by civilian volunteers, English fathers sailing to rescue England's exhausted, bleeding sons. Even today, what followed seems miraculous. Not only were Britain's soldiers delivered, so were French support troops, a total of 338,682 men. But wars are not won by fleeing from the enemy, and British morale was still unequal to the imminent challenge. These were the same people who, less than a year earlier, had rejoiced in the fake peace brought by the betrayal of Czechoslovakia at Munich. Most of their leaders and most of the press remained craven. It had been over 1,000 years since Alfred the Great had made himself and his countrymen one and sent them into battle transformed. Now, in this new exigency, confronted by the mightiest conqueror Europe had ever known, England looked for another Alfred, a figure cast in a mold which, by the time of the Dunkirk deliverance, seemed to have been forever lost.